What's up, y'all? This is Astral Dim laying in my bed because you know what's my bed and astrology. So if you follow me on Twitter, right, you know I already talked about this a little bit, but I wanted to kind of get into a little bit more detail on theory on what could be happening with this, you know, great Taurus conjunction. And like, you know, how it's going to apply astral cartography wise, you know what I'm saying? So let's go ahead and talk about it. I think it'll be really interesting. So generally, you know, if someone were to look at this conjunction, they're like, oh my God, what the fuck is going to happen? And, you know, I get it. And I get it. But I do feel as if the blow is going to be lessened by the new moon that's happening on the 28th, which is tomorrow for me, and it might be tomorrow for y'all. I might just release this. I usually release on Thursdays, but I might just release this because I'm fucking, you know, I was just on a little vacation for a little bit. But anyway, I feel like this is gonna happen because if you take a look at the new moon, the only applying aspect, major aspect, is this new moon's going to be trine Jupiter, right? And it's really, really nice. It's a 3-degree orb, so it's a tight aspect as well. It, you know, so whatever blessings and things that you've been wanting, it's gonna happen, right? It's gonna happen. Be sure to look at 5 degrees Leo when you're trying to see where it is, as well as 8 degrees Aries, all right? So whatever you've been wanting is going to happen. The thing is, though, is that it's going to lead to hard work. So the reason why I say that is this. Intellectual astrology, what we like to do is take a look at the next aspect the moon is making after the event, the next applying aspect, right? So the aspect's not shown in the, you know, chart that we're seeing. But if you kind of like push it over a couple of hours, a couple of days, then the aspect appears. It's the first aspect that appears, right? And so we like to do that to kind of help us understand how the situation's going to play out and the result of everything, right? And so the next aspect after the new moon is going to, it's like the moon's going to be making a square to that Taurus conjunction to Mars, North Node, and Uranus. So like, something about to pop off, you know what I mean? Like, it's not just gonna be like, oh, I got my opportunity and now I'm gonna, you know, skip into the sunset. Like, nah, something's gonna pop off, y'all, okay? And then, because that's the thing, it's not only this, that big ass conjunction, right? It also, it's also, you know, that conjunction is making a square to Saturn, a square to Mercury, right? And the moon is going to be making a conjunction to the Mercury, an opposition to Saturn, and a square to the, to that big conjunction. And so, you know, something's about to pop off, y'all, where we get what we want, but we might have to deal with opposing energies from authority. We're trying to speak and be creative and express, and it's, we're having this opposing energy, and then something randomly is going to happen where we show we have to prove ourselves. We're going to have to show that we have to, you know, show our ingenuity and show that, hey, this is what is going to make sense. And it's actually a destined situation. I feel like North Node, South Node, all the nodes, right? Especially North Node. I'm going to talk more about North Node. It can bring like some fuckery, but it could bring some blessings as well. The only purpose of the North Node is to align you to your destiny and what you're supposed to be doing at this moment, right? It's kind of like how people explain archangels. They say like archangels don't really understand the sensitivity of humans, right? And so that you pray for something for them, they give it to you, they might give it to you extremely harshly, and you're like, wait, why'd you do it like that? They're like, you said you wanted it, my fuck. So it's kind of like that type of energy. North Node reminds me of archangel blessings, You know, that's what it reminds me of. So it's kind of like that. I'm going to align you to what you need to be aligned to. But, you know, there is going to be some opposing energy that's popping off. So, like, that's how I feel it's going to happen. So, you know, just be aware of that type of energy. His great conjunction is going to be interesting because, you know, Saturn's involved. And so I think this is going to be affecting, like, the geopolitical world. And I wonder what the mundane astrologers are saying. At this big situation, because a lot of times that they do, they like to use astral cartography, whether through like geodetic houses or the way, you know, I shouldn't say they like to use astral cartography. They like to use locational astrology, whether it's geodetic houses, astral cartography maps, whatever, even local space to see like, okay, what's going to pop off here. So, I would be interested to see what they think was going to pop off, but I'd like to give my perspective too. But with this great, like this, I keep calling it a great conjunction because it's not the great conjunction, that's the Saturn conjunct Jupiter thing. But with this conjunction happening, you know, I feel that it is, especially with Uranus involved, something unexpected is going to happen that shakes us up. Shake up our values, what's stable and secure within us, shake up, you know, things and create a new normal. But it's, we're supposed to be doing this with North Node being involved. So we can, you know, North Node and Taurus is making us reassess what our values and our worth is and what we deem valuable and worthy and how we need to move forward within that to create stability within our lives. With South Node opposite of that energy, so in Scorpio, you know, we need to let go of like the huge transformation, the hidden secretive energy, the, you know, the honestly, the drama, low key, you know what I mean? Let go of like, you know, it's not let go of shadow work, but the obsession of shadow work too. I really feel that. It's like, okay, you've done the changes. You've dug deep. Good job. Okay, create the foundation now. Create the tower the correct way, right? Create it with like full like stability and strength. You know, and that's actually a lot for people, because some people, they're like, no, I have to keep digging. I have to. No, you don't. You have to kind of now build your foundation now. And so this is what this energy is saying. So even just with that in mind, this is what makes me really think too that, you know, this situation is going to happen with this great conjunction. Why keep calling it great conjunction? Sorry. The situation is going to happen with this conjunction is, I have an idea why I'm saying it, but I'm not going to say anything. Anyways, the idea that we have about this conjunction is, yeah, it's going to be like a little chaotic, but I don't think it's going to be that bad, if that makes sense. If that makes sense, you know, there is this essence of having to let go. You know, having to let go of the trauma and the transformation and the heaviness. And so that might make it dramatic. But again, we're leaning towards stability and security. And so I think that's the key there. So with that combination of where South Node is and where, you know, the new moon days before the situation, I don't think anything like too crazy is going to happen. If it maybe collectively, like governmental wise, like I said, Saturn's all, Saturn represents the government. It's opposite Mercury. Mercury is like, you know, communicating things and is going to be causing issues for us. But, you know, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. Now, I do want to say this. So the astral cartography of it all is really interesting because I wrote the tweet. I'm going to make sure I say everything right. But with astral cartography, we like to look at the zenith. And if you don't know the zenith of anything, right? Because there's a little bit of science involved, of course, not a little bit, a lot of bit of science involved with astrology. It means it's right above you, right? And so, for instance, you see people mention like the MC or the midheaven, and they say zenith, because zenith is supposed to represent what's right above you, right? So for me, or, you know how I always say that Mars is like, it has a tight conjunction to my midheaven, because when I was born, Mars was right above us. You know what I'm saying? That's the energy. Right above us, right above me, excuse me. It was right above me when I was born. So that's that, right? And so that's the zenith energy. So what, this is important, because with the zenith energy, it represents not only the planet being right above you, but like in a map, like if you were to go to like the astro, click on astro.com, it will show you exactly where, like what spot, what longitude and latitude that planet, what, where it was, right? From in respect to Earth. In respect to Earth, like if you were to kind of like reflect it to Earth, it'd be like bam, right, that longitude and that latitude. And then usually a lot of my astrophotography students already know this because I go over this, but when you see an MC line or an IC line, it's up and down, it's a straight line. The curve lines that you see are your ascendant and descendant lines, you know. And it's because when you think about it, if something's at zenith, like it's just going to be straight above you. You don't need, there's no need for curvature. It's right above you. You create a line that shows it is right above you. You know what I'm saying? So that's the reason. And so, when you see an IC line or an MC line, there's going to be up and down. And what the IC line is, basically the exact opposite area of the MC. So you almost create this line. And if you create it all around the globe, it'll go like within each other, you know. And the MC line represents where the planet was, what side of the world the planet was directly above you, and the IC represents the opposite of that. You know what I'm saying? All right, so all that being said, zeniths are very potent, and they don't only cover the vertical energy, right? But in zenith, it also covers the horizontal or the latitude. And so this is an interesting thing. If you were to see my Twitter, you would have saw that I created basically like two crosses. So the vertical line that's in the Western Hemisphere, so towards the Americas, that is the MC line, again representing that Uranus North Node and Mars was directly above this area, you know, and it's going to be directly above this area during the conjunction that they're having, right, on August 1st, right? And then the line at the Eastern Hemisphere toward, you know, at Asia, towards Asia, that's the IC. So it's literally the exact flip of the MC line, because again, the planet wasn't there. It wasn't on that side of the Earth, right? But still, that is still potent. You know what I mean? That area is still potent, because it's basically saying that during that time, Mars, Uranus, and North Node are literally at the IC of that time of when that conjunction is going to be the closest. All right, so there's that. And then you're going to notice like the horizontal line that I have there. Well, in zeniths, we have to pay attention to the whole entire latitude of that planet too, so not just the longitude but the latitude as well, right? And so I create that cross. So it looks like I created like two crosses right there. So that's why these are the most important, like potent areas. All right. So, I know you're wondering, okay, so like, you see which countries it's hitting, but you may want to have a little bit more details. So I'll tell you, especially if you're into cartography. My astrocartography students, like, I give y'all a mini cartography lesson, baby, because listen, I ain't just saying no shit like Venus MC line, you're gonna make a lot of money and make our great partnerships. Like, no, we ain't just talking about that, baby. You learn, I want you to look at a fucking map. My students, they're gonna be able to look at a map, okay, and be able to read that shit like how I can read it. All right, they'll know, they already know that how the MC and IC lines are just up and down, and the descendant ascendant lines curve. They already know what zeniths are. They know what vortexes are. They know what parans are. Okay, my students, they know this shit. They're gonna know this shit when they finish. Okay, all right. So let me stop talking my shit. All right. So with that being said, it's very important for you to understand the cartography of it all too. So you can make these, draw these lines and figure these things out. It is very, very important. So, because Uranus, Mars, and North Node are conjunct, that means their lines and their zeniths feed into each other, right? It looks like a goddamn Venn diagram how the zeniths look, right? But it's also like their lines feed into each other too, right? So the lines that I've drawn in that map literally represents the, like, all three planets. All right, so the conjunction, like where the planets are going to be and the areas that are going to be affected, right, are between 10 to 20 degrees north latitude, right, near 30 degrees longitude west, right? So that's the western hemisphere. That's where it's exactly is going to be, right? 30 degrees longitude west and 10 to 20 degrees latitude north. But then we're going to also remember account for the IC. So that's 150 to 155 degrees longitude east. Okay, so if you have to kind of keep in mind, like, those are the countries within those latitudes that's going to be affected. So if I were to just look at the map myself and be like, oh, okay, which countries are going to be affected? It looks like very southern Mexico. I'm talking about like Puerto Vallarta, Acapulco. Like, I can't even say the word. Wow, I can't say it anymore. Sometimes I can say this city and sometimes I can't. I can't say it. So, okay, Puerto Vallarta, we're going to leave it at that, okay? Puerto Escondido, that area. I don't know why I can't say this other place begins with an A. It's like, whatever, I'm just going to drop it. Honduras, El Salvador, Belize, Guatemala, Haiti, which, Lord, please, God, give Haiti a break. Please give Haiti a break. There's always something going on in that poor island. I feel so bad. Like St. Lucia, Antigua, like around that, like that part of the Caribbean, right? Also Hawaii too, big island. So, you know, I wonder if something's going to pop off there too. I know they've been really fighting for their rights. Where the planets are going to be exactly, like the zenith of the planets are going to be like right, damn near right on the Cape Verde Islands, right? Which, if you don't know, it is a group of islands on the west coast of Africa. There's a huge population where I'm from, so I know all about Cape Verde, right? But interesting enough, a lot of Black Americans generally do, if they are into history, because that was a big, like, slave port back in those days, too, back in the day where it was doing, you know, enslavement and shit. So, with that area, it's really interesting. Again, I have a lot of some of my closest friends are Caribbean, and they were saying how there's like, is it such a unique group of islands because they have a lot going on. Like, they always have a lot of storms, actually a lot of hurricanes on like the east coast of the Americas. It starts literally, it brews in Cape Verde, right? Just because how it's set up. They'll sometimes have earthquakes. They have volcanoes there. You know what I mean? It's a lot of different geographical things going on in those little islands, you know? And so I really hope this is going to be more of a positive surprise for them and nothing too bad is going to happen. But just keep it going. It's kind of near Guinea-Bissau, Senegal, Gambia, Mali. I covered the freaking thing like a fool. Hold on one second, y'all. Northern Nigeria. Looks like Northern Nigeria, Niger, Chad, Sudan, Eritrea, Northern Ethiopia, Yemen, Southern India, which India's got hit up from the eclipse before, right? I didn't make a podcast episode about this, but I literally like accidentally predicted that India was going to do that export ban of wheat. Like, I didn't say it exactly, but I was like, something big is going to happen when it comes to agriculture or stability and security with India during the eclipse, and bam, it happened. It's so crazy. Thailand, Southern Myanmar, Vietnam, Cambodia might be included too, Philippines. This is kind of close to Taiwan, and I know Taiwan's been going through it, so I'm gonna be praying for them too. Pray for everybody, y'all. But that's kind of like the area of the zenith latitude, right? So if you were to go and click on a certain place that happens to be near the tropics or something, right? And you want to move there, you go to astral click, you want to move there, and you're like, the zenith, I don't even see a zenith here. It's because the whole latitude is covered within a zenith, right? So that whole latitude is covered. But then it's also, you know, we have to keep in mind of the longitude of everything too. Is that the I think the Canary Islands might be included in this too, y'all. I think so. So we have to keep an eye on Canary Islands, Cape Verde, of course, Denmark, I guess. I mean, not Denmark, excuse me, Greenland, I guess. But no one's really in this part of Greenland like that. But who knows? That's it. There is this island called South Georgia that's owned by the UK. That's in like in between freaking Argentina and South Africa. So there's that, right? So there's that. So, and then the other side where the Great Conjunction will be at the IC. Remember I said 150 to 155. So if something happened to these areas, y'all, know that I said it. The northern parts of Russia. It's not that close to Japan, but kinda at the same time. So it's kind of, we have to kind of keep our eyes open. A lot of the Micronesian islands are covered here too. Papua New Guinea, but like the west side of Papua New Guinea. And the west part of Australia too. Okay. That's what I'm seeing. Solomon Islands as well. All right. So if something pops off there, know that I said it. But yeah, y'all, I think again it's this Taurus energy is being reactivated, so you know it could be connected to, just think about things that are Taurian, agriculture, flowers. What else is Taurian? Money, of course, and maybe the blend of that, kind of like the solar eclipse thingy with India, or lunar eclipse. No, it was lunar or solar. I don't remember, child. I think it was solar though. What else? I said flowers, agriculture, things connected with the feminine. You know, because it is a Venusian sign. Anything connected to stability and security of that country, of that place, the earth of that place. So earthquakes, I wouldn't be surprised. Again, volcanoes, I wouldn't be surprised. Because with the Cape Verde Islands, again, I wouldn't be surprised if it's like a storm or a volcano. People are concerned about it or something. Or in Hawaii too. Hawaii's up in there, you know. Just keep, the earth is going to be very important, basically. Fashion, right? the arts as well, things with the throat, which is interesting because, you know, we got, I don't know if, I know monkeypox makes you feel like sickish. I don't know if it hurts your throat. I know COVID is up and down. It depends on who gets it, type of thing. But you've got two like viruses just spreading around and shit that may affect your throat. So there's something with that. I don't have enough information or knowledge to really talk too much about that, but it's just interesting, you know. Things connected with beauty, I already said fashion, you know, stuff like that. So just think of Taurian things and how it may be affecting those areas. But overall, it's affecting the stability and security, and we're going to be reassessing the value and worth of certain things. Okay. But that's what I have for you. I know this is pretty short, but I just wanted to give that information out. I kind of want this season to be astrocartography focused, but I also kind of want like to talk about other things. I know I'd be getting bored quick. Sidereally, I am a Sag sun. Okay, I think it's low key coming out in that way. So, you know, I'd be getting bored of things. I'm like, okay, I'm done with astrocartography, guys. Let's talk about something else. So, yeah, I just wanted to pass the information along. I hope you enjoy this. And if you have any suggestions, if you want me to talk about anything in particular with astrocartography, let me know. But I'm just not going to go that deep, though, because I have a course, right? I have a course, and I want y'all to take it. And, you know, I know it's like an investment, and it's big ticket-ish, right? But the thing is that you literally can come to me, an expert in astrocartography, and have me help you with it. And the beautiful thing about it is, like, you have me as long as I'm alive. And shit, you never know. If I die and we're all old and shit, and I die and you have a question, you know, you just ask me and I'll come in your dream and tell you. So, like, it's beyond a lifetime. You know what I mean? So that's the thing. Like, that's what why it's big ticket, because, you know, yes, I'm giving you all this information. Can you learn this, all this information yourself, by yourself? Yes, but, you know, you don't have an expert that's curating the information to you. And they're not, I'm not feeding you this simple way of viewing astrocartography. It is deeper. It is a lot deeper than people are making it. And there's ways that we could personalize it to really have it like help us beyond just mundane astrology, but then on a personal level too. And so, yeah, go ahead and fuck with it. All right. So, go to astrodim.com for more information, blah, blah, blah. And if you need anything else too, also, I am offering astrocartography readings. Yes, I'm fucking doing it, y'all. Okay. Just for a little bit until I'm like, okay, I got too many bookings and I'm tired. So go ahead, run at it. Go purchase. Okay. All right, y'all. Bye.